Welcome to The Biz of Wealth, your source of fintech and wealth management inspiration. On each episode, we dive into the challenges, innovations, and creative strategies impacting those of us in this world. Let's jump right in.
Well, Debra, welcome to The Business of Wealth. Thank you so much for joining me. We met a little while ago, and I was fascinated by your business proposition and by what you're doing in the market. So first, let's talk about who you are and how you came where you are right now.
Excellent. And thank you, Alejandra, for having me. It was a great event that we met at, all about women and investing. And so I've been in the financial industry for many years, 25 to be a rough count. And I had, you know, a very evolving career. I'm originally from the New York area, and I worked at a lot of big firms in New York doing asset allocation and portfolio construction and, you know, a lot on the investment side, helping those financial advisors build investment portfolios for their clients. And then after that, I transitioned over to working for an investment firm, Allianz Global Investors, where I represented their investment strategies to financial advisors in the RIA channel up and down the East Coast. And then I was also in key accounts. So after being in the industry for so long, I decided that I wanted a change, like many people, after the pandemic, and was somewhat frustrated because I still notice that there aren't a lot of women in the industry, and especially on the client-facing side. Of all of the financial advisors in the country, all the studies show it's roughly 80% of financial advisors are men. And that was certainly my experience being out there working with them. And I wanted, and I felt and see that it really hurts women investors by not seeing more women out there in that client-facing role for them to go to have these conversations. And I didn't want to walk down the route myself of being an advisor, at least not at this point. I actually thought I could have a bigger impact if I helped the male advisors better help women. And so I do a lot of educational events, because that is a big issue that I think holds women back from getting engaged. And then I also work with financial advisors. I have a training program that goes over a lot of these issues and helps them understand what women want. And then I work with advisors and advisor teams one-on-one for coaching and training to do marketing materials, build client success stories, and how the meetings really should be going so that they build trust and connection with women quicker and better. And so the women will choose them as their advisor, because we can even talk about it. There's a lot of stats out there that I talk about that show women are frustrated with the advice industry and they're not getting what they want.
Well, I have so many questions to go and so many like lines of discussion here, but let's start first. I am in that industry too, and I've seen the lack of women. And as women started coming into the industry, they either come in the compliance area, the operational area, marketing, but not in leadership or in client facing, as you say, at least not in big numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that is? Of course, there is a global trend, but is there some other factors that you see that make it so?
Great question. I think that's a question more people need to be asking, because I absolutely do think that there is somewhat of a more concrete reason. I think a lot of people and women don't understand that there's different types of advisors. And so what a lot of the large broker-dealer firms offer as being that advisor role is usually there's a big, you know, it's common that they're primarily commission-based or revenue-based pay. So if you're a woman, especially, because I do have a lot of friends that are financial advisors, and if you're, you know, second career shifting over to be a financial advisor, you're going to go through 3 to 5 years of a very low compensation situation that you may not be able to handle, especially if you have children, maybe you're divorced or whatever the situation is. And I think that holds a lot of women back from doing that as a profession. And until that changes, you know, I don't think it's going to get any better, which is, you know, why I think I can help more people going this route by helping the men that are already there help the women.
Yeah. And mentor them too.
So right.
What do you think? Like, I feel like men maybe sometimes intimidated in a way with women clients is why do they always go to the man? Yes, of course, historically, we, you know, men have done the financial decision, but the reality is that that has shifted. And even if they make the financial decisions, they make it together with their spouses or in consultation with other women in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So do you feel like maybe advisors are sort of intimidated or have some sort of, I don't know, hesitation to face the conversations with the women client?
Another great question, because in the training that I offer, what I do is actually I've read books by linguistic experts who's done, you know, thousands of studies on the reality is that men and women use language differently, and we view the world through a different lens, and we're socialized differently from very young ages. And so that means that our conversations have different purposes and we're looking for different things. And I think that's the biggest hurdle. So it's not about intent. It's really just the truth is men and women don't always understand each other. And it's not, so I'm approaching it. It's not about intent. It's just awareness that this is the truth. And even though it sounds stereotypical, the linguistic PhD experts and studies show that this is what happens most of the time. And so there's, and it's just getting the men to understand what the view of the world that women have. And honestly, even though I do target helping male advisors help women because that is the majority, this is actually even good for women to know when they're talking to male clients, because they're going to be having the same thought process. And so just in a few bullet points, you know, these linguistic experts found that, you know, men use language to share information and establish their hierarchy in the conversation, where women are using language to build connection and community first, and then it's about, you know, sharing expertise, etc. So also men are more literal, and women want to know what's the underlying meaning of whatever this is, the statement, the question. And I even know from right personal experience, I'm always thinking, well, what do they mean by that?
You know? Yeah.
And so it's just educating the men that, you know, when you have a meeting with a female prospect, and even if it is the spouse of a couple, they're looking for different telltale signs than the man. And you need to include both if you really want both people to be involved in that relationship going forward. And And so in my training,
basically it's about women are looking to build trust first, but men are looking to
get judge you as to whether they think you're an expert or not.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. Okay. What practical tips do you give them? Like, how do you help the advisors to target women in a different way?
Right. So there's, so I built 9 pages of handouts after, you know, after I go through this training course. And it's all about questions you should be asking, phrases you should be saying to show respect for, you know, what the woman has accomplished in her life, whether she has a career or not. You know, there are ways to do that. And so it's phrases, questions. And then there's also, you know, this difference between an intellectual connection and an emotional connection. And we in the financial industry love intellectual connections, which are great because we love our data. And in marketing, data, oh my gosh. And that's great because it does show your expertise and it makes someone think. But, you know, you need emotions to drive people to act. And this is where a big part of it is also having some client success stories that you memorized and go to that relate to women specifically, whether it's a couple or a female client or prospect, and how you helped them be the hero of their own story in a similar pain point that this new person, you know, new prospect or client is either going through or coming in with, to show that you get them. Like, yes, I've seen this before. I can help you get to where you want to be.
Okay, and let's talk it from a business standpoint. Let's go over it. Like, why is it beneficial that if I sit now here with a financial advisor who's looking to a wealth manager, who's looking to expand their business, and tell them, look into the women niche. What do they? You know, women, it's a little bit big, but let's go with that. Why should they target them? Are they better clients? Are they more loyal? Are they going to make more money? Like, what do you see in the future?
So there's a lot of reports out there now. You know, we have these baby boomers that are aging. They're the wealthiest generation in our country. And this, as they age, we're calling it the great generational wealth transfer. They're going to be passing on this money to mostly their wives because women live longer than men. And then there's the age difference among marriages, as well as, you know, they'll be passing it on to their children, which are the millennials usually. And so that's something like, you know, women will be in control of something like $30 trillion in the next 10 years. And it's calculated to be quite huge. But to me, it's not just that. It's also the fact that Pew Research has now said that 45% of all married women make the same or more than their spouse. And there's more women now going to college than men in the U.S. There's more women in law school now than men in the U.S. And this, if you just look at that going forward over the next 10 or 15 years, that also is changing the landscape of, you know, who's going to be involved in the conversation or making decisions about money. And if male advisors, you know, think what got you here today is probably not going to work looking out over the next 10 or 15 years with the changes of, you know, women have come out and said, New York Life did a huge study, and women have said that, you know, they feel patronized by financial advisors. They feel treated differently than financial advisors. And you know, then I even layer in, I have personal stories from women that have blocked their financial advisor from calling them because they were so frustrated with being talked down to. And this was an engineering major who was like a sales leader, you know, very intelligent person. And we got into the conversation of, do you think he even knew what he was doing? She's like, absolutely not. She's like, I don't think he intended to talk down to me, but that's how I felt. So I couldn't talk to him anymore. And that bothered her husband because now he has to repeat everything. And because they make the decisions together. And there's even, you know, I have numerous real life stories. And I don't think it really needs to be that way. I think it's just, you know, an awareness, style, communication thing. And it's not about intent or blame. I'm not into this whole anti-male bashing thing.
Oh, no.
Right. But some businesses are. So.
Well, it's historical.
Yeah.
A very long line of male-dominated financial services industry and male-dominated households many times in terms of finance. So I think that the dynamic is changing. And what's good is what I see is the opportunity in the way financial advisors also market themselves. So a long time ago, I interviewed a financial advisor who said, I specialize in nurses. So I said, that's awesome. He's like, I have a built-in referral network because I specialize in nurses. So it was perfect. And when I speak to you, I say, okay, I need to tell some financial advisor to go and specialize in divorcees or widows or single moms or women executives, whatever you can find that, you know, can personalize that. And there is a different way of approaching in terms of the language and the, as you were saying. What other tips do you provide or tell them? What actually, let me ask it in another way. What's the biggest mistake beyond patronizing or talking down you see in the industry when approaching women?
I think, you know, I think it's a style thing where men are so interested in showing their expertise. They immediately jump to that part of the conversation without really making the female feel like you understand who she is. Why is she unique? What are her fears? What keeps her up at night? And how they can trust and be a partner instead of being a dictator. And I'm, you know, this is why I'm smart. I've been doing this for 25 years, and this is what you need to do.
Right.
And instead of, you know, what keeps you up? Why are you in this situation? Here's how I've helped other women, and things like that. And I think the other thing that no one is really doing in a super consistent way is, and the studies have shown that women want this, and I know because this is also a separate part of my business, is that women want educational content, and there aren't a lot of women-only educational events. And I feel like women-only events are better because that's kind of like this. That's what's got us here, where I think women are intimidated by looking silly or feeling silly by asking questions if they're with a mixed company. And one of the issues that I do see often that holds women back, and I mean very professional lawyers, high-level females, they think that they should know certain information already because they are in a certain place in their career and they've done very well. But the reality is how would they know this? They, you know, they don't teach any of this in high school, or they're only just starting to. And, you know, only in college if you're a finance major, not if you were, you know, any other major. So it's like making sure that women understand that it's not their fault. There's no way they would have known this. And so by having women-only educational events, it just takes the pressure off and women are more likely to talk, open up, ask questions, have that bonding experience. So one of the other things that I do is be the female face for the advisor and the advisor team, because, you know, 55% roughly of all advisor teams in the country have no women on them.
Wow.
And so they need, you know, someone to partner with to speak at the events, to be more approachable and things along those lines. That could go a long way.
And you do have a long way to go. We do have a long way to go. But what is your, you know, what has given you so far since you've made the transition from advisor into trainer and advocate? What has been your greatest satisfaction and your greatest frustration so far?
My greatest satisfaction, I think, is I've been getting some really great support and from my former network, and which are mostly men. And even I'm starting to get a lot of great exposure, you know, being on panels and things like that, because I think everyone is starting to see that this is such a huge issue. And I think I do have a unique approach as to how I'm going about my view on how to help make it better. So that's been great. I think my biggest frustration, obviously, is I always feel like I could help more male advisors. And so it's just continuing to get the word out to more, you know, more men that I can help them.
And let me ask you, because overall in the market, I always see like financial literacy efforts, financial education, which is very much basic in a way. You know, whenever I see all these approaches by nonprofits, is okay, we need to go to the very basics. Let's teach about debt, but about credit right. cards, and you know, and there is a huge need for that. I'm not saying there is not.
Right.
That segment is a very different segment than the one that we are talking about. That is, hey. Most women, and this I may say it's even a bigger percentage, are completely intimidated and completely lost whenever they're asked about investments and how to manage those. And they don't even want to go with there. So how do we break that barrier? Because even if financial advisors seem approachable, I think that most women, even professional ones, as you were saying, they find it very intimidating.
Totally true. And I think it's a few things. I think it's that there aren't enough women-only events. But I think also it's understanding, and I talk about this in the training also, is that as great as the internet is in, you know, information, it also spreads a lot of misinformation. So unfortunately, I think that most people, even a lot of men, think that trading is the same thing as long-term investing, and it's not. And so I even talk about, I've got, you know, some top negative beliefs that I think are out there that is also what's holding women and a lot of other people back. And that's one of them. I think they unfortunately believe that you have to pick your own stocks or understand stock picking in order to talk about investing. Not true. And like you need to be a math expert. Not true.
True.
You know, exactly. And all of this is kind of hanging out there, holding, you know, a lot of women back. And I think the jargon does it, and the predominantly male face that, you know, is intimidating. So that's why. So I've got courses to kind of honestly make the basic long-term investing super approachable for anyone to finally understand. And I'm actually doing an event with a women's group in September, because you don't have to do it yourself, but just taking this course will enable you to have a conversation that is very much where you're more involved with your financial advisor, if that's the route you want to go. And perfect example, I had a client who already had an advisor, and she was on the younger side. Her family never talked about money, but she was now starting to make more money. But she didn't really understand any of it, and basically said, I have this advisor, but I don't even trust him because I don't even know what he's doing. So after going through the course, she calls me up. She's like, Deb, you're not going to believe it. I just got off the phone with my financial advisor, and for the first time, I understood what he was talking about. And she was so happy. And what financial advisor wouldn't want a client to be that happy to talk to them? And you know what I mean?
Man, talk about like client loyalty and engagement. That's exactly what you need.
Exactly.
Okay. This has been super inspiring. Thank you so much, Deborah. I'm going to ask one last question.
All right.
It says, if you were able to have a billboard on, you know, I-95 here in Miami, wherever you want, huge billboard, what would it say?
Wow. I guess it would be, wake up, lady, you can invest.
Love it.
I don't
invest. Love it. Thank you so much for your time. And we'll share all of your information so that everybody can get access to those very valuable trainings.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.